Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Join us today. Hello to the Christian Television Network audience out there. Join us is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, so many things are taking place, and God is speaking in so many levels. And I can see, let me tell you the future. If you happen to be listening and wonder what the future is like, I got some things I can't really share with you just yet, but I will be sharing with you really soon on the air. It's going to really make you just, oh my goodness. And but just listen, I realize that God orchestrates things. God lines things up, and that and the reason why you're listening is because you're a part of it if you choose to be. Because we're one big family, the family of God, no matter what religion tells you. You know, if you love Jesus and you made him the Lord of your life, you're my brother, you're my father, you're my mother, you have fathers and mothers. We're family. We're the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think so, there's a lot of grace for that, and you're going to get to heaven and go,
I
guess
wrong.
You're my brother and my father. And you just say, you know, shut up and set the table. Anyway, so, yeah, right. I mean, but things are unfolding so rapidly. You think about when these significant things happen in your season of your life, because you know you read history, you read prophetic history and advanced future, and you're thinking, I'm in it.
Right.
I'm in it. And then you think, oh, I'm in it. I have a role to play. You know, you have a role to play. There's something you're supposed to be doing right now. God has intentioned you and purposed you and trained you for this day. You things that you thought delayed you and things you thought that hindered you, those were lessons from God. They were testing of your faith. If you are serving God today, no matter what happened in your past, then you've passed those tests. You passed those tests when you got off and dust the dust off of your whatevers, and you got up and you said, you know, here I am. God, I love you. Like Amy Simple McPherson, no, like Catherine Kuhlman said, when she had a whole bucket full of mistakes in the middle of her ministry because she let her emotions... Hello out there. Mm. She let her emotions. She thought, you know, if I just, you know, I know God's moving. He's shaking the world through me. Even though they don't want at that time in the history, they wouldn't even think that women could minister. It's like, hello, she's ministering. People can say, people can heal. God's with her. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And but she started thinking, you know, if I just had some loaves and garlics and fish like everybody else, if I could just, I know what I need. I need to get married. If I get married, you know, I just need to get married. Besides, I have this man that's really wanting to get married. He's really made a lot of money off my ministry because he has a radio station. And he wants to be able to broadcast. I'm sure it's, I don't know if that's exactly, but if he has a radio station, I'm sure he was like, you know. And so whatever happened, you know, with that, she ends up diverting from the love affair with God and trying to split that with what I needed to be filled full was be married to a person, you know. And Paul said, you know, marriage is like oatmeal. I'm sorry. I know you probably maybe made it all about an idol. You made it about everything in the world. But listen, it's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Word of God says. He says this. He says, well, Paul was talking to the unction of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you're not, I'd rather you not. But if you do, it's not sin. So shut up about it and live it the way God wants you to live it. And if you are married, live like you're not, because the day's short.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, hang it, you're gonna live to the end with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just learn to live with it no matter how it is. And if the unbeliever departs, they depart, but you're not running them off. It's like, come on, quit. It's about Jesus. You know, America has made a marriage an idol, and now it's the idol's being shoved down America's throat.
Mm. Wow.
They made marriage to men, you know, marriage in general, to an idol, you know, and used it as a tool and said that this is of God because I am. Like, no, you're evil. You're not, just because you're married, you know, you're evil. I mean, Ahab and Jezebel were married.
Mm-hmm.
And God was just disgusted with them.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at it. Now look what's happening. Now look what's happening. It's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how we get on this rabbit trail, but I know, but I know that, you know, that Jesus is he's our bridegroom. He's the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. And God, his Father and our Father, is preparing us for a wedding banquet for us that he's going to present us as a spotless, believe it or not, wrinkleless, yeah, no, I know. I'm looking at Pat when I'm talking about this. Bride without spot or wrinkle to his Son. God loves his son so much because he made a way for us to be saved, and he always loved the son because the son always does the will of the father. He says, I just want to do something for you. Mm-hmm. I just want to do something for you. What can I do for you? I'm so grateful. I'm just love you so. Ooh, he's like, ooh. You know, Jesse Duplantis, when he saw Jesus and God, and he just saw this radiating power and glory, and, you know, I don't know what the name, I can't remember the name. He wrote, even wrote about it in a book, but it was just,
Heavenly Encounter, something like that.
Yeah, but it's Jesse Duplantis, you can find it. But anyway, it's just like, and it's like the son going to the father going to the son, and just great pleasure. It's just like, you know, and he's like, oh, I want to do something for you. And so, of course, the first Adam, he did something for him. He laid him down, and he pulled a rib out, and he created him a helpmate. He had a wife. This is a gift to you, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now that went out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now this is the second Adam. And he said, I'm gonna right where he was pierced in his side and all the blood poured out, the blood that came out of your side, the blood that your life intentionally, yourself, I laid down the first Adam, but you laid down yourself, the second Adam, you laid down yourself. And because you did that for us, to be able to bring us in a relationship, that what poured out of your side, I'm going to take that and I'm going to redeem for you a bride, and you're going to be loyal to him, and you're going to take away, he's going to take away your name and give you a new name. What you doing keeping your name, what are you doing calling yourself a Christian? Listen, it is not about us.
Hmm.
It's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we go. We are being prepared to be the bride for God's son. And by the way, when you get married in the family, guess what happens? You get the inheritance. Not only is he our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only is he our elder brother, but we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I mean, he's created the universe. Like, what do you think he's worth? All of creation? You know?
Yeah.
How much gold does he have? He has other things we haven't
all
thought about. Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say it this way. He builds his houses out of gold, and he has streets of gold. And,
yeah.
You know, the sticky stuff on the back of stamps in heaven are just like some liquid gold you lick and just stick it back. It's like ridiculous. Like, come on. It's about him. It's not about all this stuff. Hopefully they'll have self-sticking stamps.
Yeah.
Right. Just joking. There's not. They're probably like, there's a male doctrine now for heaven. M-A-I-L doctrine for heaven. Be careful. And so, but God is speaking now. And he says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And as a matter of fact, John, I want you to read this in Acts as we're talking about this. That this is what he says. He says that there's going to be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and in Acts chapter 2, when he's talking about, you know, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Are you talking about Joel?
Well, Joel, yeah, but he's
quoting it.
Yeah. That's it in Acts.
And so you think about this. Imagine this. What if you're living in that day? What if you're living in that day and you don't even know it, and all of a sudden you find out you were in it, but you missed it? And that would be terrible, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be just so sad. But many will. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's totally, totally amazing. I think it's in Acts chapter 2 when he's talking about, he's explaining how things are going to happen there. And he says, you got it, John?
Yep.
Go ahead.
He says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show you wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
What you're going to see is this outpouring of God's spirit on all.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know Matthew chapter 17, just because you dreamed, just because you prophesied, you were a sign, but sometimes you can be a sign and a wonder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so, but that's a sign. And all of a sudden when recently, we went to a particular land that we're God has sent us to, and the people begin to prophesy to us.
Mm.
They just prophesied. The everyday folk are just begin to speak, and they had no idea. I have people that come and see me, and all of a sudden they don't really know. They just know they're just loving God, and all of a sudden they begin to prophesy to me, and confirmed the very thing that God had already laid in my heart.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, when they hear the response, they're overwhelmed with how God used them as a sign. Mm-hmm. And then God rewards them for being obedient. And next thing you know, just flips their world, their blessing upside down, and blesses them twice as high as they thought they ever could be. This is going to be, this, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss where you're going. You don't want to miss where you're going because where God's taking us, because it's going to be awesome. There's going to be a difference between those who are God's and those who say they're God's.
Possessive.
And I'm not talking about like God's, but
right.
The ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And
who belong to him.
They belong to him. And there's a lot of religious folks that I really believe is going to get free from the religious captivity, but they work themselves hard being religious. I mean, it's amazing.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's just like a rigorous, like a drum roll, like a slave ship, you know, boom, boom, boom. It's like, but you haven't heard from God. Has anybody heard from him?
Mm.
And you're the only one saying you heard from. Why are you satisfied? Because your job was to introduce me to the voice of God. And I got to trust you now. It's been a long time and you haven't yet. I haven't heard myself. And how come you're okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
How come you're okay with me not hearing from God?
Mm-hmm.
Are you held captive so that my life does not end well? My eternity doesn't end well?
Wow.
I think the biggest disappointment is the religious captives that it'll bust hell wide open. Because the pride's already there. The arrogance is there. So they're going to be shocked. They're just going to be, don't you know? Oh my goodness, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the humble one, the humble man, the humble woman, the humble believer, they just look like they struggled in that, but yet they heard from God. God spoke to them and he would tell her what to do, or he'd tell them what to do. And they just, you know, in loving relationship, just did it. You know, like Song of Solomon, when he talks about, you know, where's my beloved? Have you seen my beloved? What, you're so obsessed with him.
Hmm.
Yeah, why are you running after Jesus like this? You need to function, you know, in guards in the city of God on earth, you know, Jerusalem are beating up the bride. The people who say they're all about God are beating her up. The watchmen are beating her up.
Yeah.
And it's just like, who cares, you know? I mean, about how we're treated. We do care how others are treated. We care how, I mean, our biggest test is how we respond to those who test us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But these days, I'm telling you, the Lord is just speaking with power, and it's just happening. We're seeing, and what we've seen is, you know, and you need to go to iabide.org and just get in and begin to abide with him. Begin to walk it out, even if it's with crayons and some double space, double line paper. You know, you've got, he says, there'll be a day that you'll hear the voice of the Son of Man and you shall live.
Mm-hmm.
Which means this, prior to hearing his voice, you're dead in your sins.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, there'll be a day that you will say a prayer and you'll be saved. No. He said, there'll be a day that you hear the voice of the Son of Man and you shall live.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't cry into a Lord you don't even know, you know what I'm saying? Because in the last days, he said, I never knew you.
Right.
It's about a relationship with him. And by the way, if you're even prepared to be his bride, he's going to want you to be interested in him. Intentionally.
Yeah.
Not squeezing him in. You know, can you imagine like coming to your wife once a week? You know, you're living with all these other women, or maybe vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you know what, baby, I'm going to give you a good 45 minutes on Sunday where we can come and we can talk and all that kind of stuff. But I have all these other families, all the other relationships and other homes and stuff. But, you know, at least I'm putting like 3% into the bills here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't give you the whole 10% that you're really needing. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's not really robbery anymore because this is the new covenant where I can take advantage of you and not be held accountable for it. You know,
oh, gosh.
Wow. Is that not right?
That's so true.
That's the gospel. And they say, but if people go like, yeah, me too. I have a relationship. I have, well, whoever that is in that apartment you're putting up, it ain't Jesus. Whoever's, you know, you're
That's
just
right.
visiting once a week.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. Listen, he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Religion is just, oh my goodness. You know, and nobody wants to be religious. Who wants to be religious? A whole bunch of rules with no purpose and no relationship and no intimacy. But when you have this awesome encounter with the creator of the universe and you find out how much he loves you and how merciful he is and how graceful he is and that he shares his secrets with you,
and he directs your steps. You say, hear, he says, hear what the Spirit says to the church. He just speaks to you. And you can find out who's listening, who's not, because all of a sudden, out of 10,000 people around you, there's like eight of you that you bump into each other like, oh, you're doing the same thing. Me too, you know, right?
It's called obedience, right? Oh, yes, yes, I obey him.
Yeah, and it's like, wow. You bump into the people who hear God, and you're like, whoa. And it's confirmation, too, because you're thinking, you know, somebody totally outside of your circle is, but yet serves your same God, you know, is loyal to Jesus. They're hearing the very same thing, the very same thing from God. And I used to say, well, you know, it's amazing how you could turn on your TV and you can hear things preached the same all the way across the land. But then I found out where a lot of people get their messages by watching TV. So one of them preaches it on TV and then somebody else just picks it up and they take it themselves. But there is something else called the Spirit of God that begins to speak to his people, pulpit or no pulpit, and they're all hearing it. And what happens is when we all hear the voice of God, when we come together, when anybody shares what God's saying, there's something that just roars up in your spirit that comes out, and all of a sudden it starts coming out of your mouth, and it goes, amen!
Yeah.
Which means that's right, and I agree. Because it's a witness of the God you serve. You're already hearing him already. You're hearing him already. And he's saying right here, this is what he said. This is what he's saying. He said, listen, so I'll pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So you have, what do you have? You have prophecies, visions, dreams. This is how God speaks. Signs and wonders, and we're fixing to see some huge signs right now. We're about to see four blood moons about to come up in about
13 months?
Yeah, something like that month. And I want to talk to you about one in the future. When we talking about red moons, there was a very significant one when we were in the middle of a prophecy that came up, and we were prophesying the Malachi mandate. And but when we get back in just a moment, we're going to let you hear a dream from Cooper that he just had. God just spoke to him, and his mom was talking to him, and he's sharing with him the dream, sharing with her the dream of what God has shown him. And it's very important, because you have to understand he's 8 years old. And his understanding is only what God has seen. He's already been, God's shown him a couple times already. But we're also seeing, if you've been listening to VFN Radio, and we're seeing it, we're going to begin to bring the children and do interviews with the children so you can hear the children, not just the adults. Children are hearing from God. The day's getting close. You better prepare yourself. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation. And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to talk about Jesus. I mean, he's always so good to talk about. But I want to talk about Jesus. And I want to talk Jesus as the divider. Yes, yes, you heard correctly. Don't turn off the computer and don't change that app. Jesus the divider. You may be familiar with Jesus as the uniter, but what about Jesus as the divider? I mean, there is a division that Jesus most definitely approves of. In fact, the only division, Pat, Chris, the only division that Jesus approves is dividing anything or anyone that would divide you and his church from him. I'm going to repeat that again. The only division that Jesus approves us is the dividing of anything or anyone that would divide you from the church and from him. I mean, the word divide means to separate into two parts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You separate here, cleave, to cleave it. You know, just to put a little chop in between that thing, and now you have two parts. Mm-hmm. And in Matthew 10, this is Jesus' own words. He says, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. In fact, you know, in Luke, he says, do you think that I come to bring peace on earth? No, no, I tell you, but division. But division. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against the father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. I love Jesus' words because they're just so real, so authentic, so raw. And he's just telling us right from the start, listen, it's all about me and you. There's nothing that can get in between us. There's no legitimate man-made reason or excuse that would allow anything to divide you from me and me from you. We're called to be together. And Jesus gives us this wonderful privilege of unity, this wonderful privilege of being one, oneness with him. You know, when you think about the word division, the prefix di, D-I, means two. And it's about pulling apart, right? A separation. God is interested in becoming one with us, just like the same unity that he enjoys with the Father. That's an amazing privilege when Jesus Christ wants to be one mm-hmm. with you. Now, this is a jealous love. This is a jealous love because he will definitely want to divide and separate those things that would separate and hinder love and hinder unity and hinder this oneness. Now, there's some things that the Lord most definitely wants to divide, and especially even some relationships that the Lord wants to divide and separate from you. I mean, think about it. Relationships seem harmless at first glance. But in the end, this relationship is going to separate you from your walk with God and have a bad influence on you. Then God wants to divide it from your life. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. It could be a family members. And we're not talking about divorce here. We're not talking about separating a small child that you're responsible for. Right. You can't divide the child from yourself, okay? That's your responsibility before God. We're not talking about, well, you know what? I want to get rid of my spouse. No, Jesus is not for the separation like that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about family members, maybe external family members, right? Where there's a separation occurring, that there's influence, that there's people's voices, that the people who've not submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, even well-meaning. Let me tell you something, you got to guard and got to be careful who's speaking in your ear. I mean, if Jesus himself was almost turned in his ministry and was could have been tempted not to go to Jerusalem because of Peter's proximity and what Peter said, is there any relationship that we have that could be potentially, if they're not separating us now, but could have that potential because of what they choose to say, the access that's been given to them can separate you. Think about this. Separate you, divide you from Jesus. Jesus has a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has a sword. Now, there are mindsets that God wants to divide from you. I mean, think about it. Any mindset that would try to cloud your vision of God, any mindset that would hinder your walk with God. I mean, people get attacked all the time that maybe God doesn't love them. God wants to divide that from your mind, okay? Wrong mindset.
Right.
Let's get that out. But because they have been so condemned and the enemy has lied to them so much and they feel so unlovable, they even wonder, could God even love me? And God's saying, I love you. I'm going to put a sword in between that. I'm going to divide that thought and separate that thought from you because we're supposed to be united. Let me tell you something. God wants to divide sin from you. Any sin that will take you down, any sin that will pull you away from God, he wants to divide and separate. And when you think about unity and you think about how much God is into unity, think about the unity between a husband and a wife. I mean, there is a unity that God definitely does support and believe in. It's a biblical Christ-centered unity, right? Mark 10, 6-8 says, but at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. I mean, God, from the onset in biblical marriage, God's saying, listen, you two separate individuals need to form and be forged into one. To be united with each other, no longer two different ideologies, two separate ways of life, that you need to bring this thing together and have unity and be united in your thought, united in your values, united in the things of God, united in how, the culture for your home. You need to be one because anything divided will fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord talks about having a unity amongst the church. There is a unity that the Lord definitely believes in, Christ-centered biblical unity, that the church must be united. How about the unity with the individual believer and with Jesus? Let me tell you something. We were created. We were created to have a personal relationship with God. God is not the man upstairs. God is not your co-pilot? He wants to be your very best friend. I mean, Jesus experienced this unity with the Father. I mean, they were one. They were one. And he desires to have this same unity with us. In fact, 1 Corinthians says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But, he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit with him. Right. How amazing to have the opportunity to be one with God. This is a jealous love that God has for us, right? To walk with him in intimacy, to walk with him in truth, to no longer to be divided. The Word of God says that you have been given the mind of Christ, walking in such unity with him that Jesus' own character is being formed in you. To be so united with God that when people see you, they can see the Lord, they can see God all over you.
Yeah.
You know, we know somebody that they just ooze so much love. You just want to go up and say, dude, can you just hold me?
Yeah.
Can you just hold me right now? Would you consider that awkward at this moment? I mean, it's just the love of God on that person's life, the unity they have with the Lord, the oneness, it just permeates off of them. And you're just like, wow, I just see, feel the love of God. And that's amazing. And that's what happens. That's what happens when Jesus and you become one. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Think about that. And if you want to know what God is or what God is like, all you need to do is look to Jesus. God wants that special place with us. He wants a special place of unity. He wants a special place of connectivity with us. That he's the first thing on our mind in the morning we wake up. He is the last thought on our mind when we go to sleep. That we live with a God consciousness and awareness that he is ever present, that he is aware, and that our whole life's purpose, our whole reason that we exist and go to work and do all the things that we do is to bring him glory, that we bear fruit, showing, proving that we are his disciple, that we belong to him, he belongs to us, and that we walk with God. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today that if you haven't experienced this oneness with God, you didn't even know that this was possible. I want to tell you, I want to remind you what Jesus has already said in his word. Listen, come to the place of unity. Come to the place where he can be one with you and you can be one with him and experience the love. Experience what he had with the Father and allow his character to be formed in you that you can be a channel of his love wherever you go. What the world is waiting for, is for those who love the Lord, those who have accepted the Lord, to allow the Lord to move through them each and every single day. You know, I still think, fellas, that it's still WWJD.
Yeah.
Remember that W? That what would Jesus do?
That's right.
But I think we can change one of the W's. It's not what would Jesus do, because that's thinking about, like, you know, what he would do. Did long ago when he walked the face of the earth, right?
Mm.
Well, Jesus hasn't gone anywhere. I mean, he's not on earth,
mm-hmm.
right? But he lives inside of the believer. How about if we change that to not what would Jesus do, but what will Jesus do? What will I allow Jesus to do through me today? What will you allow Jesus to do through you today? In order for Jesus to move through us, we must decrease, and he must increase.
Okay.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses, we even have a map. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits in Pensacola. Oh my goodness, a wonderful meal to go. Also, Cordova Lanes. The weather's changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in. Sign the kids up for the league. It's time to bowl. Also in Pensacola, Glenn Parker, Alan Turner Hyundai. Buying a car is an important decision. You want to buy from someone you trust. You get a car, you can get a Bible in your glove compartment. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There's so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you. And it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong because that's not true. And that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if in fact that you want to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. The Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
There comes a point in time when you can't even resist your enemies anymore. You just have no power, you have no strength left, and you're just going into captivity. And it's pretty much God saying, I've tried everything to get your attention, and you're not listening to me, so you're going to be taken and sold as slaves to your enemy, what he says.
Yeah.
And first he sends people in. He allows people to be sent in to, but he actually sent them in, if you read about Israel, to raid his people. Because his people, you understand, they were pagans. They totally left God, the knowledge of God, and just wanted to begin to do their own thing. And that's what's happened today, in today's culture. As a matter of fact, right, I believe it was in Oregon, Seattle, there was people in the town square dancing around a golden calf in, belly dancing type things. And it's just amazing how you know, once you're given over to something, it's like, do you realize what you're walking out here? And then, so here we are at this point, and you start looking, you know, is the church in America going to wake up? You know, and the one thing that we have to respond to, remember, the first thing that happens is God was sending raiders, and you can see this, it's called This Generation on VFN TV. Don't give up hope, even for a pagan generation. This stuff has happened over and over again, and but God rescues his people when they begin to turn back to him. But in that, he sends raiders to just take away all the stuff and things and everything that, that his people wouldn't give up and wouldn't honor him with. Then, and maybe that's going to get their attention. And it's like, everything's being taken away right now. It seems like you're actually are doing well when you're borrowing money. But the truth is, they're going to start calling for their loans. You can give this false sense of doing well, and when you borrow money, I'll never forget years ago when I got my first loan. I had this sense of like, wow, it was amazing, you know. And
until that statement came in the mail.
Well, you know, I was very young. I was probably 17 or something. I don't know what I was, 18, and you just have this ignorant sense of, you know, this is great. Mm-hmm. And then you think, because it's a false feeling that that's not your money. That's somebody letting you borrow their money, but you still don't know it yet because the first payment's not due. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the payment comes due. And then you start realizing more and more of your life now is starting to have to pay for what you borrowed in the past.
Yeah.
So if you don't gain wisdom from that, you think, well, I need to borrow some more money so I can have what experience that I had prior to that. And so if you fall captive to the American mindset, you would go borrow more money. And you have that feeling for a moment, and you're able to take care of some things. But eventually, just like the first loan, you're going to have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, your entire income for that month is committed to debt service because you're paying off loan A, loan B, loan C, loan D. And you have no money left. Mm-hmm. Well, it was not true. You really weren't doing well when you were borrowing money. You just felt like you were doing well. And now, not only were you not doing well before you borrowed money, now you're not doing well and you're indebted to the lender.
Right.
Now, you know, your things and stuff are going to be raided if you don't pay attention to the taskmaster who now rules your life. And I encourage you, you know, do everything you can to get out of debt, lower your debt down. Don't take on extra stuff right now, because everything that you owe, it looks like, you know, the adversary is going to begin to control, you know, God's people and the people of the land. China, at any moment, could begin to call their loan back, although their economy is kind of struggling right now. If they do that, that leaves no choice but for the American government to respond and pay their money back.
Right.
I mean, Germany asked for their gold, by the way. And they said, okay, it's going to take us 7 years to get it. You know, we don't know where we put it at, but we're going to get to it. And they said something like, we're going to give you like 10% of it.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
You get 10% of it. And it's like, wow. And you really think that if something happens that you're going to be able to run to the bank and go, hey, I need some money. They say, okay, I tell you what, it's going to take us 7 years to get it out, but we're going to give you 10% of it in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes to show you, they told a whole nation that it's going to take, we're not going to give you all your gold, but we'll give you like 10% of it, whatever it was. And it's going to take 7 years for the whole process to happen.
Wow.
Of course, probably it's war debt, and things, you know, if you, we'll help you out if you put your gold with us or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just amazing what's taking place right now. And so I want to encourage you, begin to think wisely and get free. I think about the shrewd young manager that Jesus talked about, that this is Jesus. This is God talking through his son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. You've seen the son, you've seen the father. He said this, he said, there was this manager that found out that he was going to be fired. He found out he was going to be fired, and for not doing a good job or whatever. And so he was collector. He would collect for his boss. You know, they would come and they would give grain and different kinds of products to for his master, and he would for his boss, and he would pay them, or he would charge them for them coming to get products, for example. And when he found out he was going to lose his job, he realized, he says, man, I'm too proud to dig ditches, I guess you would say. But I'm too proud to be a servant. And he said also that he's not going to have anything. So he needs to say, yeah, we can start, I need to start doing some things, being nice to these folks, so at least I'm welcome into somebody's house.
Right.
You know? And you'll find out the practices in America that if leaders don't change their way, because you only leave for a period of time anyway, is you won't be welcome in anybody's house.
That's right.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So anyway, we didn't get to finish, John, about, we were talking about, we were talking, I guess it's Friday or something, that we were at the fair, and we're walking through the fair, and we decided, or you decided, or we decided to get...
We Pat, you got to be careful about this.
I can't remember. It was so long ago, you know.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, you remember?
Yeah.
The, so I, we got on a zipper ride. All I know is that I just did what John said, got on the zipper. And a zipper is like, it's like a straitjacket made from metal. Yeah, it's like a chair that you're just kind of strapped in, and they close the door, and there's two people in there, you know. So John and I are sitting in there, and it goes up and down. Have you ever seen a zipper ride? Maybe we could show you a zipper ride on the blog or something. And John was talking about, you know, be careful, you know, I get sick or something like that, you know. I mean, you know, it's real difficult for me to be in movement and motion and stuff, and I don't have my Dramamine, so I forget what it was. No, I'm seriously, I mean, I just didn't think that, you know, that could happen. And so here we are. We're on this ride, and he spins us around. The guy flips us around.
Yeah. No, the guy's like, do you want to be flipped? I'm like, no, we just want to enjoy the ride. Of course, Greg's like, yeah, so flip us, spin us around. I'm like, are you kidding me? This thing is going way up, man.
I wanted to get my 25 cents worth.
Yeah,
so we're flipping and flipping. And I said, and it's fun. And I looked over at you. And you were, sweat beads were coming down your head. And we're locked in this straitjacket of metal. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is not gonna be good. This is not gonna be good. It just dawned on me.
Yeah, that's gonna do what, bro?
Yeah, like, right.
It's about to happen. I'm like, don't you shake this thing. Stuff.
It dawned on me that you were serious. I think, oh my goodness, he's about to woof his cookie in his straitjacket. And I'm thinking, oh man, of course I quit rocking it. But I'll never forget that look on your face, man. I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
And the rest of the night, remember that?
My goodness, man. I'm thinking,
Bob, like, oh, this could be the moment.
Oh, I just really believed at that moment when I looked at you, you know, and you were pale face and sweat beads coming down. I'm thinking, it's not going to be good. So I want to encourage you that when you are hearing somebody saying, you know, this could happen or that can happen, I just want to thank God right now. I just want to thank God for retaining all that junk food.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we never did see it. It just wrote an invitation and said, I'd like to come out. You said no. And I'm very thankful for that.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And so this is Jesus telling the story.
And so what the man does, he starts calling people in. He says, how much do you owe my boss? And the man, they would say something like $1,000. He said, well, I'll cut it in half. Just pay $500 and you're free. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else, he says, how much do you owe? And they said something like, you know, I don't know, $500 or whatever. And he says, just pay a percentage of it. Don't worry about it. You're taken care of. And Jesus said this boss man came to this employee and commended him. I mean, what kind of boss is going to, you know, go, oh, just thank you for giving away my products and my finances?
I never understood that.
Well, the whole thing is this, is that it's all God's.
Yeah.
And he understood the priority of things. And the priority of things is to be good to people and not just to get your stuff and things and treat people bad. And it has nothing to do. It boils down to how you're treating God and how you're treating others. By the way, and how you're treating others is how you're treating God. And so Jesus said the manager, the boss man, comes in there and tells this guy, man, he commended him. He's like, great job. I can see the ceremony now. I just want to thank him. He did such a good job. And he called him a shrewd manager. Because he began to make decisions that were based on his reality. He realized, hey, you know, I'm not going to have a job. And this is where America is right now. We need to start making better decisions, understanding that our future is going to be different than our present. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you can do is stop just living for yourself. You know, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to have denied yourself and follow Jesus anyway. So, hey, this is a good time, this side of history.
All right.
Start doing it now. So afterwards,
figure it out now.
And in the words that I'm telling, you know, that, you know, Pat can testify to, you know, I don't ever call myself a prophet, but it seems to be prophetic words come out.
That's right.
I'm shocked. Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. That's prophetic. But was, many people are going to be losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. And everybody had a job by that time. Everybody's all employed, spending all their money around the world, around America. And of course, everybody looked at me strange. And I said, there's going to be a day that CEOs, former CEOs of organizations will be standing in Walmart, working in Walmart, and be happy about it and be thankful and grateful that they just have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, I heard on the news a particular man that was worked in the banking industry, CEO type, that was out of a job for 2 years. And there's obviously a lot of people out of work. And doesn't seem that our government's concerned about it.
Right.
And he said on the interview, when he finally got a job, and he got a job as a branch manager, you know, from CEO, leader of bank industry, mm-hmm. to just a branch manager, which nothing wrong with a branch manager, but you understand that's, for him, it would be a home.
Right, huge job.
They said, well, how do you think about this? Kind of presented away as a demotion. And the guy says, I'm just grateful. I get up every morning and I'm grateful to have a job. I just did not realize how fragile this thing is. And see, God holds all things together. And this shrewd young manager that Jesus gave us an example of, he realized that God is in control, and it matters how you treat people, and it matters more so the horizontal and the vertical versus what's happening in the economies and what's happening in business, what's happening with your stuff and things. And if in the end you still love people and they still care about you because you did right before them and God, then you did well. No matter how it turns out, you'll be commended too. Your grandson is spending the week with me, my oldest grandson, David. And I just love David. And he's just so cool. You know, every kid has their own personality and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And we were able to give him his own. He's had progressive Bibles, you know, that you kind of mm-hmm. kind of get, you know. But now he's becoming a young man. And so we got his own Bible, you know, leather type Bible mm-hmm. and all. Wow. And
he's very proud of that, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? I just love him. And he loves, and he's anyway. So.
How old is he?
He's 11.
11.
And so with that, Donna goes and checks on him. He's asleep, he's in his bed, sleeping. Mm-hmm. And he's laying in his bed, you know, laying in the bed in our home. And his Bible, his brand new Bible, is laying right beside him, you know, in the bed. And I'm like, oh, I wow. just love that. Isn't that beautiful? And so that's he's cool. reading. He's abiding now. He's abiding, you know, every day, you know, if you're with us, you're going to abide,
that's
you
right.
know. And And so he's reading Proverbs, you know, whatever the corresponding Proverbs, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, that today's proverb. But he's going, I have never, ever, ever seen this before in the Bible.
All right.
I'm like, Mama, you need to, you know. Anyway, so, but yeah, he's just so blown away that God has wisdom for him how to be able to handle situations. And it's just so encouraging. So anyway, so he's, you know, as there's something that we're working quite often for the Lord nonstop. It's amazing, you know. It was much easier being the police than being in ministry. I think I've been shot at more in the ministry than I did in law enforcement, even though I did get shot at. And so the he's telling me, he's like, oh, you're going to be free in a minute. You're going to be free. And I'm going back from my office. We're going to the studios. We're doing all this different stuff. And we're filming. And you know, we broadcast to all of our churches, you know, during the week on VFN TV. And then we have all the things happening. We're just, you know, it's just a media nonstop, you know, time. In addition, you know, abiding with God. So you're hearing him all the way through what you're doing. And, of course, he just wants to spend time with granddaddy, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. And he says, well, you go swimming with me. And I'm like, yes, I'll go swimming with you. And so we get in the pool, you know, I finally make it to the pool. You know, children are so important. Children help you to remember to play. You know, we got to remember to play, you know. Like John, he reminds us to play, right? He's not a child, but he definitely reminds us to play. And so we're in the pool, and of course I'm exhausted because I'm working all the time. So I'm floating, you know, I'm at the age, we just float. What do? I float in the pool. That lazy rivers at all those water parks, that's for us. We just float around. While you run all these up and down these slides, we just kind of float around. So we're happy as can be. No, we're not sad. And I'm just floating there, and he goes, this is not fun. I go, yes, it is. Look, let's just start looking in the clouds and making, what do you see in the clouds? Because I see a whale. He saw a whale. And I said, well, I saw an eagle. We saw this, you know, after about 15 animals, like, okay, we've seen some clouds. And then he's like, come on. And he tips me over. I am floating. Oh, he tips me over, and I have to then play.
It's on now.
It's on now, you know, and he's beginning to really swim good and go in the distance of the pool underwater. And we were racing each other. We just had a real good time spending time with my grandson. We're looking forward to tomorrow. You know, we're going to spend some time tomorrow after the program tomorrow. And it's just cool. I want to encourage you, if you have not, you know, spent some time with your children or your grandchildren, you know, take time to do that. They can teach you to play. They can remind you of those things. And those are precious moments. They go by and then they grow up.
Oh, no.
You know, I was sitting, he probably won't let me say this, but I'm going to say it. We were sitting on the couch, and he wanted me to go watch this old movie. I don't know what it was, like one of those Tid Turner Broadcasting old movie thing. What's that called, that old movie station that plays these black and white movies? I don't know what it is. And those, our listeners in Atlanta can let us know. It's right there off the main drag. But anyway, so I'm passed out. And I can't watch stuff like that. I just pass out. You know, it's like, this is good. How was that movie? Oh, man, it was great. I slept all the way through it. There was just one scene that woke me up, and then I went back to sleep. So he's facing away from me, and he's holding my pinky the whole time, my finger. Mm-hmm. The whole time he's holding on my finger, you know, and just watching that. And I'm being close to him. He's being close to me. And we're just sitting back there, and his grandmother's, you know, sitting right there. And we're just having a wonderful time. And, you know, it's just so cool. You know, it's just spend time with your family, you know, while there is time, and love on them, and it'll remind you of the things of God. I love spending time with my grandson, Dave.
Don't forget to visit our sponsors. Go to VFNTV.com, collect all their information so that you can make sure to visit them. Phone numbers, web addresses. If you're in Pensacola, go to Taqueria Ogie's. Oh my goodness, fantastic, authentic Mexican food. You don't want to miss it. Also, in Alabama, Mobile, Brunson Air and Heating. All of your heating and air conditioning needs, they'll come out and service, even give you a quote. VFNTV.com today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.